Back to throw. In trouble. He's going to be sacked. No, gets away. He runs. Gets away again. Goes to the 40. Gets away again. To the 35. Cuts back at the 30. To the 20. The 15. The 10. He dives. Touchdown, 49ers.
It was another frustrating game, and it's quickly becoming another frustrating season. And look, things just feel kind of weird right now. Things are kind of bizarre in 49ers land. This is Al Sacco with you, 49ers Web Zone, No Huddle Podcast, no Zane this week. And you know, when either Zane or myself aren't here, we like to highlight other podcasters, other content creators that we're fans of, that we think are doing a great job to come on and co-host with us. And I'm pumped, really pumped today to talk to our co-host. He is one of the hosts of the Sprint Right Option podcast, and he does a million other things too. I'm sure you've seen him all over Twitter and every podcast imaginable. He's Jason Aponte. Jason, thanks for being here, man.
Al, thank you for having me, man. I'm honored that you would even consider me, as considering when I started out, I used to listen to you guys a lot. Not that I don't anymore. I just, you know, I just want to make sure that my thoughts flow so I don't steal from guys smarter than me like you.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. And listen, so the way I discovered you guys, I remember, so it's probably like last season, early last season, was you and, what's Andrew's last name, your co-host?
Pasquini.
Pasquini. So it's you and Andrew, and I think Javi was on your show. And I just happened to be scrolling through Twitter, and I was like, let me listen to these guys. And one of my things with, you know, there's a lot of good podcasts out there, but I don't like when people are kind of all sunshine and roses and red and gold colored glasses. I like when people keep it real. And I remember I was listening to your show. I'll check these guys out. And you guys were just talking, and you were just as honest and as real, and you knew what you were talking about, and you didn't pull any punches. And I was like, all right, these guys are on to something. Started following you guys, started paying attention. And yeah, you guys, you know, Javi, you and Andrew, you guys are all killing it out there. It's like the next generation of podcasts, and you guys are coming up and doing awesome. And yeah, I'm pumped to talk Niners with you today, man.
Yeah, it's amazing to hear you say that, because I remember that day pretty well, actually. We were on there and we were doing a segment called Say Something Positive, but at the same time, we were still highlighting everything that was going on with the team. And I remember, yeah, you know, you followed Andrew and myself, and me and Andrew text each other like, did Al Sacco just follow you? It was just really funny. So it was a big moment. I actually remember that exact episode. So it's really cool to hear that. And yeah, I'm pumped to talk about the Niners with you too, man. It's a big thing for me.
Yeah, so we'll get into the game here. And I guess, I know you're just as frustrated as I am with what's going on. And it seems like the fan base right now is, not that we're starting it to revolt, but there's just a lot of anger. There's a lot of, what the hell is going on? There's a lot of, is this going to be another kind of weird Jim Harbaugh situation? Not that we think York and Shanahan are going to fall out, but just that was so strange. And it kind of has that feeling right now. But I guess before we get into all that, let's start with a little bit with this game and the debut of Trey Lance. And to me, Jay, it seemed like the game plan was clunky. It was strange. I thought that they would, especially when you're going against Arizona, who was giving up, I think, almost 5.5 yards a carry. I thought they were really going to try to pound the ball. I thought they were really going to try to run and protect Lance. I thought you'd see a lot of play action because that's what he did in college. I thought that was one of the reasons they brought him in. But it almost seemed like the game plan was almost like to put it all on his shoulders, like you would a Josh Allen or something like that. And it was bizarre to me, and I didn't think he got a lot of help. Now, he moved the ball. They were in Arizona territory, 8 out of 9 possessions. I don't think he threw the ball particularly well. I thought he looked like a rookie. You know, he did sometimes, but there were a lot of passes where he definitely looked like a rookie. But just some of the constantly running him in between the tackles, and it was a really clunky game plan to me. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I echo those sentiments. When we were in camp, you know, watching him, the zone read was very big. It was to get him outside, and it was to just read defenders and hold those edge rushers, right? And you kind of figured, you know, you don't really have to be an X's and O's guy to figure out, okay, how do you slow down this Arizona offense? Not only does your defense do it, but by keeping them on the sideline and pounding the ball, right? You know, the first play of the game is so indicative of it. He comes out naked in an empty set. And immediately what happens is the protection isn't there. And guess what? The Chandler Jones is rushing free at him. But guess what? The kid made 14 out of it. And that's the type of stuff that you point to. And that's the stuff that's kind of frustrating. Those QB powers into the back of the line. I get the play call and I can see how it's used. But, you know, you don't want to put him in positions where he is the leading rusher on the team. In no way did I want to see Trey Lance outrush either Elijah Mitchell or Trey Sermon, who for some reason gets only 2 snaps. And we'll get into that, I'm sure, too, with the personnel decisions. But yes, I would have thought that the entire time, the way that you slow everything down is You run the ball, you get him some easy throws off play action, but that never really seemed like that's what was going to be going on in the beginning.
Yeah, it was just sort of a bizarre game plan. Overall, I mean, did he look like a rookie? Yes. But also considering how much they put on his shoulders, I was encouraged. I was definitely encouraged. And I've seen some mixed reviews on him in terms of his first performance. I know Middlecoff and Haberman weren't very complimentary, and I usually agree with those guys, and I didn't with that, because I thought Lance made sort of the most out of what he had. I mean, sure, he looked like a rookie, absolutely, and some of his, I don't know if he saw the field very well. Some of his throws were inaccurate, but again, when you put that much on him, and I saw Brian Baldinger tweet today that the team played so poorly around him, it's hard to judge him, and I thought that was a really good way to put it. You look at the holding calls, the drop passes. They just looked like a very dysfunctional offense. And that's, Jay, that's been the problem this year. This offense has looked clunky and dysfunctional, whether it's been Jimmy or Trey. They have no identity. It's like they don't know which way they're going. And maybe it had a little bit to do with that the quarterbacks have two different styles of play. I don't know, but you would have hoped they would have been a little bit more prepared than that. So I'm optimistic with Lance in terms of what he looked like, but I didn't think there was a lot of help there from the rest of the team.
Right, and that was my takeaway, is the kid had so many things around him failing, whether it was execution, whether it was just penalties, drops, all of those things were happening around him, but yet he still kept fighting, he still kept putting himself in a position where they were in scoring position. I mean, they got on the other side of the field many times, so that's what I walked away encouraged about. The kid was able to succeed with all things around him crumbling. So at times, obviously, that's got to get better, right, because it can't be as bad as it was, but I would really enjoyed the way the kid fought. I really thought that I walked away super encouraged. Sure, bad throws, but there are two sparklers in there to Brandon Ayuk, who we're going to also talk about. That throw on the sideline was an absolute dime. It was thrown through a keyhole, and Brandon Ayuk came up with it when they had to have it. And another time, you know, the other one that he's held on, he caught with his left arm, and it was a great throw. It was right on there. I understand the interception. Everybody's going to point to that. His shoulder just dipped a little bit, and that was first play jitters. I really was fine with getting it out of the way right there. It didn't really, I mean, the first drive they wind up scoring, it looks like maybe this one's going to get out of hand. But for all those things considered, with everything, the bad game planning, well, the poor game planning, I would say, the drops, the penalties, the execution, he still fought and he was still right there at the end with a chance to win the game. That's my takeaway from it.
And now, of course, he's got the sprained knee, and you're like, of course he does, because who doesn't get hurt on this team with the injuries? And again, that's yet another thing we'll get into in the show, is the injuries, because I've absolutely had it. Like, I'm about to lose my mind, but we'll get into that. Assuming he's healthy, what do you do with him moving forward? Does he start, or do you go back to Jimmy if everybody's healthy?
He has to start. I mean, look, yeah, I know the 49er fans don't want, I know the 49er fans don't want to hear this, but this team right now does not look like a Super Bowl contender. On the flip side of that, if this team can get right with the running game with Trey Lance, they can absolutely be in the playoffs. And that's really all you're looking for at this point. You just want to get a shot and get in the dance. So there is a way to develop Trey Lance, and there's a way to win games as well. And I think that's where we're at this point. At this point, it feels like you're stunting the growth of the kid, and you're starting to not show me any sort of plan, which is really the bigger concern when it comes to who's developing this person, this quarterback, who's the one who's actually calling the shots. What's the plan? What's the move? Is it for him to sit? I don't know. I think that the kids should try to learn on the fly right now at this point, only because I just don't think that this team is going to be competing for a Super Bowl. And at the same time, they can still make the playoffs with Trey Lance if he's able to have everybody else around him, step up a little bit more.
And that's a good question. What the hell is the plan right now? Is there even a plan? Are they just flying by the seat of their pants? If you look back, and I've talked about this on the show numerous times, but if you just go back to the Stafford stuff in January, February, whenever it was, it's just been the Niners trying to do something different at quarterback over and over and over again. They went to Stafford, they check into Darnold, they wanted Deshaun Watson, then he has the legal stuff and that falls apart. Then they make the trade. And now you have this quarterback who, it's not like they took a quarterback, they sat at 12 and took a quarterback or took somebody in the second round. They mortgaged the future for this guy, right? They mortgaged the future. They traded multiple first round picks. You bring him in, and he was more of, I guess, a project pick of the quarterbacks, you could say, just because he hadn't played and he was at North Dakota State. So you could argue, okay, it makes sense to keep Garoppolo and see how he does. That all made sense to me. But the way it's been handled, and even you just look at the way Shanahan, this was probably August when I think it was on Sean McVay's podcast. and he's talking about how much he wanted Matt Stafford, how upset he was. That was just bizarre to me in terms of handling that. Why are you saying these things when you have two different quarterbacks on your roster? I just thought it was really bizarre. Like, he doesn't have to go that in detail on it. And then you go into the season and there's all the talk and, you know, Trey looks great at practice and they're splitting the reps and this sort of thing. And then he gets in the season. Oh, no, we love Jimmy. Jimmy's the quarterback. We absolutely love Jimmy. And all of a sudden he's, you know, Jimmy's my man. When he's literally everything he's said and done for the last 8 months has been like, I want nothing to do with Jimmy. He's a lame duck, right? So now I just kind of wonder with all this, and I don't know anything. This is just outside looking in. Things look weird and dysfunctional. Is that locker room fractured a little bit? Are there some people who may be thinking we're on Jimmy's side or we're on Trey's side, or just what the hell is going on? What's the plan? Because we're thinking that. So it's just a little crazy and bizarre and uneven the way they've handled this all, right?
Right. I mean, when you talk about the plan to get Trey Lance, that's literally plan Z. We're not talking plan B, plan C. They literally, you know, made open attempts at literally every single quarterback, able-bodied, two-armed quarterback in these United States to be, you know, you literally went down the list. At first, they had a chance at Brady. The Stafford thing is something that's very real. The Watson thing. Sam Darnold, Teddy Bridgewater. I can go on. Like, they're Andy Dalton.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. All these people connected to the 49ers. I don't care what you say in your press conference. Your actions are showing you're on quarterback Tinder swiping right on every single quarterback at this point. Mm-hmm. So it's a weird thing when they say, oh, well, we wanted to get to three. It almost feels like we've exhausted every single veteran option out there. And now let's just trade up. And that, to me, doesn't signify a plan. Now, after that, I don't know what the plan is moving forward with this quarterback situation, because you're absolutely right. I agree with you 100%. You see the move, and Kyle Shanahan's not stupid when it comes to this, is no one would blame you for starting Jimmy only because Trey Lance is a 21-year-old. I understand draft capital, all of those things, but he can still play that old school way of developing, you know, quarterbacks, and no one would blame him, right? But at the point when you start to see where the offense is, even with Jimmy Garoppolo, and then you just watch what Trey Lance did when things were not great, and they have to get better because how can it get any worse specifically? I don't know how you can look at this disparity in the ceiling of the offenses and say, yes, I'd like to go back to that guy. Because for all those things, Trey Lance threw one ball that was interceptable and it was caught, it was picked off. Jimmy Garoppolo is a turnover worthy play. What is it? Turnover worthy pass. Like, I don't know. He's very high up on this list and he doesn't take any chances. And that's the thing. What mistakes can you live with? If it's going to be from a rookie who's developing, I can live with those mistakes because you get those big plays. Ergo, the first one that I talked about where it was a literal free rusher and Trey Lance takes off and gets 14 yards. That's not in the bag for anybody else. So I think all the game planning can change. So at this point, it really just begs the question, what is the move going forward? And what are you telling this team? And I can guarantee you there are people in this locker room halfway down on Jimmy, halfway down on Lance. And these are the things that you talk about when you say, you know, people are getting worried about like a Harbaugh situation where things get fractured and they get worse before they get better. I'm not all the way in that camp right now, but I can definitely see there being some tension in the locker room based on who people want to start.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see where it goes. But I think for me, I think the way that Shanahan and Lynch are looking at it is we need to win this year. And they do. They have to start winning. I've said this a million times. Like, this had to be the start of their window where you have Kittle and Warner and Bosa and Debo and we thought Ayuk and guys like that. This is the start of your window. Not that you have to go 14-3 and get to the Super Bowl this year, but you got to win like 11 games and be in the playoff picture. You have to start doing it at some point. And I do think Lynch and Shanahan are kind of feeling that pressure right now. And you could see with how quickly the fan base has been like, what the hell is going on? Kyle Shanahan is the only coach in 49ers history to have 10 loss losing seasons. That's not good. Now you could say, all right, he started rebuilding and then he got into the Super Bowl. And then last year was injuries. Okay, but I'm done with the excuses, Jay. I'm done. At some point, they have to start winning games. And if you look at it right now, 2019 is the exception. It's not the rule. That seems like that was kind of the offset year. If you take that year out, what is Shanahan, 18-35 as a head coach? Yeah. I mean, that's abysmal. Right. It's absolutely terrible. It's not even like, okay, you know, everybody hates Matt Nagy, right? He goes like 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
Shanahan's 18 and he's what, 8 games under .500 now, or whatever it is, 7 or 8 games under .500 for his career. That's not good. So yeah. I think for them too, I think they kind of feel that, yeah, we need to start winning. So that may be why they're kind of holding on to Jimmy, right? They know Jimmy, a healthy Jimmy. I don't think we're going to go 14-3, but he could probably get him to 10-7, right?
Right.
And then that kind of buys him a year. That's where I feel the mindset is anyway.
Yeah, I think that you're dead on with that. And I think that's exactly what they're thinking. But I think that it highlights the wrong thought process of run it back, because 2019 is never going to be attainable again. And when right. I said things like that, you know, you get killed for it because that defense played so well. And people just forget all the special circumstances that happen in these games. Teams lose a game and then you get a home game instead of an away game. Everybody was afraid to play the Saints in 2019. Minnesota knocks them off and they come in and pretty much it was a done deal at that point. So I think that people are discounting how many things went the 49ers' way in 2019. Sure, they had injuries, but they didn't have big name injuries. And I think you're right. That is the exception. I think the flawed logic and the way that they thought that this season would go is just run it back to 2019 and let's just get there. And let's just, I don't know if you can do that again because right. of the circumstances around that season, and so hard to duplicate.
All right, I know you have some strong opinions on Kyle Shanahan. We're going to get there, because I listened to a little bit of your podcast this week, and it was pretty entertaining what you had to say about that. But before we do that, I want to talk about this Ayuk situation, because I'm to the point now where I'm angry about this. Yeah. John Lynch said on KNBR that he needs to take the next step tonight. I don't know what he's doing off the field. I don't know what he's doing at practice. I know what I saw on Sunday, and you highlighted it. He made two outstanding catches. Outstanding. One where he makes a great grab and then he runs to get, I think it was 2nd and 25. He runs to get the first down. He looked really good. And if you're trying to make a point with this guy, maybe when you're 2-3 and your offense isn't working, maybe that's not the way to make the point. You need Brandon Ayuk. You absolutely need him. And I don't want to hear people say like, oh, well, Debo wasn't healthy last year. That's why he got so many targets. Bullshit. You give your good players targets. Are the Chiefs not throwing to their good players? Are the Bills not throwing to Emmanuel Sanders because they have Stephon Diggs? No, you get your good players targets, and the 49ers cannot move the ball. They cannot afford to be picky with who they're throwing the ball to. You need more than Debo. Ayuk is supposed to be somebody you traded up for him in the first round. He had a great rookie season. He's someone you need to highlight and bring along and get the ball to, make him a part of your game plan. I don't know what the hell they're doing, or what kind of point they're trying to make with this at all.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right, because it's confusion, because it's so many other things besides the actual actions. It's the words, okay? So I went to camp. I saw Trent Sherfield. Trent Sherfield had an amazing camp. There is no doubt about that. So when Kyle Shanahan tells me, hey, Trent Sherfield is outplaying Ayuk, we're trying to work him back, then where's Trent Sherfield? Why is he not running in front of Travis Benjamin right. and Mohamed Sanu? I don't understand the thought process. Travis Benjamin is brought up. I don't want to hear that Trey Lance needs him as a deep threat. You know what Travis Benjamin needs to be doing? Catching punts. Because if we're going to have anybody back there to do that, it should be him as opposed to Brandon Ayuk, who has a chance to get injured, right? Okay. Now, we're talking about a player who last year, when Nick Mullins was in there, was actually the only reason that the offense was moving at times, right? Against the best corners mm-hmm. in the league. There's no way yep. to really regress against that. And then you saw the two catches. You see who's running in front of him, and you see how they manufacture touches for everyone else but him. It's baffling. I don't understand it. The words are not matching the actions. Something is funky about this entire thing. I don't like it at all. And it's starting to get me afraid of other personnel decisions that we'll get into, because you know, I have thoughts on that as well. But specifically with Brandon Ayuk, if you told me that Trent Sherfield was playing better than him 2 weeks ago, what has Trent Sherfield done to lose that spot? Because it's not happening right. in the games. The guy had two snaps against the Packers. So where is the discrepancy? What is happening? And don't tell me in any way that Mohamed Sanu or Travis Benjamin are better than Brandon Ayuk at this point. I don't care if he even regressed. That's not even a conversation and on the zip code. Get your best players on the field and get your best playmakers the ball. Find a way to do it. You do it for everybody else.
And you look at this receiving group. They dropped 3 of 18 catchable passes in this game. Mohamed Sanu dropped a huge 3rd and 11 pass. Drops have been a consistent problem. They're the third worst in the league this year, 5.7% drop rate. In 2021, they were also the third worst. And in 2020, they were also the third worst at 6.1%. And in 2019, they were the sixth worst at 6%. So this team, it's an ongoing problem. They drop passes. I love Debo. He's had a great season, but he drops a lot of passes. It's not like you have guys who are playing above their heads and outplaying Ayuk. nobody besides Debo is really doing anything. So I don't understand what the point is. And you don't even have George Kittle on the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing.
What was the plan? What was the plan?
With Kittle not there, doesn't it make, I mean, obviously Kyle Shanahan is much smarter than I am, and so are the people that are in that building, but I would look at it and say, hey, maybe we could get Brandon Ayuk involved a little bit. What do you say? You know, and it's just, maybe if Brandon Ayuk's running that route on the throw to Benjamin that ends up in an interception, maybe his long arm actually knocks that pass down. Like, why are you having 5'10 Benjamin in the middle of traffic when you saw Brandon Ayuk do that 2 times in traffic in that game and all of last year? It's just baffling. I don't understand any of it. I really don't, Al.
And I don't understand how they're sitting at wherever their coach's table or whatever the hell they do, and they're talking about their game plan for this week, and they're like, you know what's a good idea? Let's bring Travis Benjamin. Didn't play at all last year. He's been on the practice squad all year. Let's activate him and feature him in the first game with our 21-year-old rookie quarterback. That's a great idea. Oh, well, like, was that said? Did anybody say, Kyle, I don't think that's a good idea. I mean,
and
are you kidding
what
me?
Else is funny, too? What else is funny, too, Al, is Sherfield and Lance had a connection in camp. I know that Sherfield was catching passes from everybody, but Lance was the one that was hitting him down the field. So right. If he had chemistry with anybody, it really was Sherfield. It's just, I mean, the more you talk about it, the more it just doesn't make sense, Al.
And it's so weird. Everything is just weird and just disjointed. And I think Kyle Shanahan's a pathological liar anyway, but it's just strange and it looks dysfunctional. I'm just, all right, we got to move into Shanahan here. Yep. I'm just going to let you go off because I love what you said on your podcast. Just, I know you're frustrated. I'm super frustrated. We're probably going to spend the next 20 minutes talking about him, but just go off, man. I want to hear your opinions on what's going on with Kyle this year.
The problem is that I have high expectations for Kyle Shanahan, right? And for me, this game plan for Trey Lance should have been very easy. And I understand that the 49ers were in long down and distance, their own reason, it's all their fault that's happened. But then, when you look at penalties, okay, who does that fall on? The coach. He addressed it after the game, saying, I need to find a way to get them better. You know, they're missing the protections on the first play of the game. I don't know whose responsibility that is. I'm not going to go all the way on Alex Mack or anything like that on that because I don't know who's actually shifting the protection. I had heard that it's up to the quarterback to do that. But either way, Chandler Jones is on your right, and he runs free at your quarterback. Okay, can somebody figure this out? Like, how are we going to get along to these places, these little things, right? Daniel Brunskill is getting absolutely worked by J.J. Watt. Running that QB power into that section right there at J.J. Watt maybe is not the right thing to do. I mean, I mean, I'm not a play caller and I'm not an offensive mind. When you talk about how many times Jimmy Garoppolo has had the open throws that he like sets up for him, where were those for Trey Lance? And I'm not even talking about deep shots. I am talking about throws that are intermediate. Get him going. Get him rolling. The run game. Trey Sermon. What are we doing here? What did you trade up for Trey Sermon for him to get 2 snaps? I don't understand it. The grouping, the personnel doesn't make sense. Elijah Mitchell, 9 carries, far too little. 9 carries to 16 carries doesn't make sense. Should have been flipped if you were doing that with Lance and Elijah Mitchell when it comes to those. I'm just frustrated with there's no semblance of anything. They're just sleepwalking right now. There's no semblance of a plan. It doesn't seem like things are streamlined in any way. It just seems like it's chaos. And that's what you mean by weird. And I expect more from this coach. Fifth year, you know, getting something that he said that, you know, is something that's vital to him, talking about a guy with legs and who can make things happen when literally nothing's down the field. Trey Lance can make that happen. And all the positions he was put into were bad, in my opinion. They were just bad. And I don't know where to go with this at this point because it's 3 straight weeks against subpar defenses. And the offense looks bad no matter who's under quarterback. I mean, even though Trey Lance played well in this game, I just don't know how to fix it. I just know that there's a problem when Aaron Banks is not dressing, you know, certain players, Lenore, right? Like, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the best coach on the field this past week was D'Amico Ryans. Hands down. Not even close. Not even something Absolutely. That I would have even, I never would have predicted that in this game. Hands down. Rookie defensive coordinator is out coaching the coach right now. And the offense is not holding up its end of the bargain. And there's no play caller, and sometimes play callers go through funks. It happens, but there's no one to swap the play calling off to, and Kyle would never do that. I just don't understand what's the game plan. What were you practicing? Did you practice those QB powers the entire time? Why no more zone read? Why no more read option? Anything like that? Like, why did you put it all on Trey? And I'll pass it to you because I can keep going. But I just, the personnel grouping, Trey Sermon needs to see the field more. And if Elijah Mitchell was on a snap count, that doesn't really make sense because it was only really him, Juice, and Sermon on the field. And Sermon only got two two snaps in this game.
Right. And the play that stuck out to me the most was the fourth and one with the Juszczyk play, where it looked like, if you watch the replay, at first when he ran that, I said to myself, why the hell are you running? You did it 2 weeks ago where you ran Juszczyk. Like, of course they're going to know what's coming when he's under center. And, but you watch the replay, it looks like Trent Williams is pulling out. Mm-hmm. And it almost looks like Lance is waiting for the ball. Wonder if Juszczyk was supposed to snap that and pitch it to Lance. If he did that, Lance probably had a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That would have been a great creative play. And you're like, oh, okay, well, it didn't get run right. And Shanahan had said something in the press conference that things were wrong on that play. But I'm not, to me, I don't say like, oh, well, Juszczyk didn't do what he was supposed to. I'm starting to think, well, why the hell didn't he do what he was supposed to?
Why is he not prepared?
That play set up, how the hell did he not know how to pitch that ball?
Yeah.
That's coaching. There's some kind of disconnect. There's some kind of disconnect there if that happened. That's a huge issue. And what we talked about this, I think Zane and I, a couple weeks ago, Jimmy gets killed, right? Jimmy gets destroyed, and some of it's warranted. But let me ask you a question, Jay. He's been in the system for how many years? About 4.5 years, whatever it's been. Has he gotten better?
No.
Who is that on? Is that on Jimmy?
Right.
Did Nick Mullins get better? Did CJ Beathard get better?
That's the fear, Al. That's the fear, honestly. I think that's the fear of all of that coming back in. You know, I can't really put it right yet on Trey Lance, but you're making great points here with this. I mean, absolutely making great points. It just feels weird. And I think that what Kyle was doing was something that hit in 2019. All right. So in 2019, the Panthers game, there is that backside handoff to Deebo Samuel. Like, it was out of the funky formation where he comes from tight end and he gets in. It's an easy walk-in touchdown, right? Fast forward to that Saints game that year. They run the same thing, but instead he tosses the pitch to Sanders and Sanders tosses it to Mostert. So I think what happened was, now that I've got that information because I saw that same tweet out, I think that Kyle was, because he had to put that on tape 2 weeks ago, was trying to get that going. And it would have been a beautiful call because they all bit on the idea that it was going to be juice. And that's why it obviously got stopped. But again, why is it not executed? And that falls on the coach. Why are you not, if you're going to run that, why is your team not sharp? It's week 5. October is when you want to start playing better football. You want to keep, you know, this is the fifth week already at this point. Why? Why are they not prepared?
And Shanahan's offenses get a lot of yards. But I was looking Pro Football Reference the other day, and I looked at his point totals since he's been coaching, so offense coordinator and head coach. So his teams have ranked second. Atlanta was second in points in 2016. The Niners were third in 2019. After that, 11th, 12th, he's currently 15th with the Niners this year, 15, 17, 19, 21, 24, 25, 27, 27, 30. So other than a couple years, they've only had two. He's only had two top 10 offenses in 14 years. And again, to me, it's like, I'm not saying Kyle should be fired. I am not saying that. I just think we're at to the point right now where he deserves criticism and we need to start questioning some things. That's kind of where I'm at with it. So his offenses have been good yardage wise, but points wise, there's only been a couple of years that look like outliers where they've really exploded. And of course, people are going to blame, well, what quarterbacks has he had? Okay. In the 1 year he did have Matt Ryan did win the MVP. I get that. But at some point, he has to make these quarterbacks better. And Lance is the final test. It works with Lance or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, he's not the coach anymore. I mean, it's just that simple.
Yeah. And I think that you're absolutely right, where he does deserve criticism. And you're literally talking to a Kyle Shanahan supporter through and through. He deserves criticism, but I don't want him fired at the same time, right? So, I mean, it's just, what's going to happen? How are you going to change it? And I don't think we're going to get those answers. That's just not how Kyle is. Kyle's not going to tell anybody because obviously he doesn't want that out there, but he's never been, like you said, forthcoming with everything as well too. So you just have to hope that this bye week clears their head. The first thing that I want to hear, and this is going to be a long week with the discussion between who it's going to be back and forth. And you know what? One more thing that I have to say about Kyle Shanahan that I really didn't like, the press conference yesterday, making the joke about, oh, well, I told Jimmy you're going to have company in rehab. You know, huh? Is that funny? I don't find that funny.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he said that.
I don't find that funny. Is that your attempt at humor? Because that's not funny. Do you think that that's what you think Bill Belichick would say something like that? Do you think that one of those coaches would say something like that? Right now, you're going to say something like that? The kid just had his first start. And you're laughing and joking about the fact that both your quarterbacks, and you might have to play Nate Sudfeld, worst case scenario, are going to be rehabbing together? Come on, Kyle. Come on.
Which would be, if Sudfeld played, that would be the fourth time in 5 years he's had to play three quarterbacks in a season. You just can't win that way. You can't do it. And another reason I think why I'm nervous right now, Jay, is if you look at, again, people always want to say, like, they want to wipe the slate clean with a new coach and say, oh, the ownership group, they get it now. They get it now. This is what worries me. Dennis Erickson, Mike Nolan, mm-hmm. Mike Singletary, you bring in Jim Harbaugh, right? Those were three of the most fun years with the 49, right? The team is loaded. They're well coached. You know, every game they're going to be right there. Three state NFC championship games. They started out 5-3 in 2014. Then you start to hear whispers, right? Starts to fall apart. And people say, like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Jed and Jim are fine. You don't know what you mean. Everything's fine. You're a hater. This, that, and the other thing. Whole thing falls apart, right? So things started to leak. You started to see things. It went totally south. Now, I always say it wasn't that they got rid of Harbaugh, because Harbaugh's crazy. So maybe they had to get rid of Harbaugh. It wasn't that they got rid of him. It's what they did after they got rid of him. Tom Sula. Yep. And then I think the only reason they fired Tom Sula was because of the pressure from the fan base. I don't think Jed thought there was going to be that kind of pressure from the fan base. And the fans went nuts. To fire Tom Sula, instead of saying, all right, we got to start clean here. They keep Balky. They bring in Chip Kelly. You completely waste a season. 2016 was a complete waste of a season. And then you bring in Shanahan. Gary Plummer told me, and this isn't like backhand information, like he said it on this podcast. Jed did not hire Kyle Shanahan. Denise York did. Gary Plummer said it to me on this podcast. He said that his mom was sick of getting embarrassed. She said, enough of this Tom Cable stuff. We're hiring Kyle. That's what he said to me on. You can go back and listen. That's what he said. So now everybody's like, okay, we got Kyle and Lynch. Everything's great. Jed's learned his lesson. Everything's great. Everything's perfect. And then they make the Super Bowl and it's like, okay, well, maybe we did get this right. But then now things are starting to look weird again. So maybe they did get it right. And maybe this is just going to be a blip on the radar. And in a year from now, we're going to be looking back and laughing at this. But from what we've seen in the past, how can you not be at least a little worried? Right?
Yeah.
When people show you who you are, believe them. When people show you who they are, believe them. Right? We've kind of seen this movie before. So I hope people have learned their lessons. And I think Kyle Shanahan is a good coach, but there's enough kind of weird stuff going on right now to at least put my antennas up a little bit.
Yeah, 49er fans definitely have PTSD. I mean, you named all of the coaches and everything as well, too. And I think there are some parallels between the way Harbaugh left and what's going on now, because Harbaugh had them on the doorstep of three championships. I know that, you know, if they would have won, you know, the first NFC championship, they probably win the Super Bowl that year. They were that close that second year. And we all know what happened in Seattle. And the same thing kind of goes right now. Kyle Shanahan gave this team, this fan base, a taste of a chance at a Super Bowl. They were that close. And now team, you know, most of the time when you go to the Super Bowl, you continue to be a contender. You don't end up 6-10, you know, whatever the record's going to be right now. So I think I think that 2019 is fun. It was a great year. Obviously, it didn't end the way that they wanted to, but it has to be pushed out of your mind at this point, because it's going to be hard to get back there. And it's a little bit of a detriment, because everybody kind of expected in this fan base, and based on what everybody was saying around this team, that they were going to get right back to that. So I think those expectations, when you couple that with the fan base and PTSD, it looks bad. And they definitely are worried that this is something like that. I don't think it's something like that. And obviously, like you said, we could be laughing about this in a month. It could be just a blip. But at the same time, I understand people who are absolutely nervous in the fan base and frustrated, to say the least, just like we are with how the season's unfolding.
And they can't have 10 losses again. How can you justify 10? They've lost 10 games 5 of the last 6 years. The only two other franchises that have done that are the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Giants. I mean, it's pretty bad, man. They can't lose 10 games again. Just can't happen. And Josh Dubow, I don't know if that's how you say his name, but he tweeted, 50 coaches have been with one team for at least parts of five seasons since 2000. Kyle Shanahan's 449 win percentage with the 49ers ranks 46th. The only ones who are worse are Gruden, Jeff Fisher, Jim Schwartz, and Doug Marrone. So again, he's got to start winning. And one thing that people will often say, well, they did say before the last week and a half when everything went to hell, but Kyle Shanahan's a great coach. If he was on the open market, almost every team would dump their coach for him. So I was thinking about that. Now I want to go through with you. Why don't we go through the teams and we'll say yes or no. If Kyle Shanahan was on the open market, they would want to flip their coach for him. You want to give this a shot and see how we do?
Let's do it. This sounds fun.
All right. Let's start with the AFC East and go through. Sean McDermott.
No.
The Bills. Absolutely not. I agree. He's doing a great job there. There's no way. Belichick. Yep. We don't even have to talk about.
No.
Brian Flores with Miami.
Maybe, but I wouldn't call that a slam dunk as far as people think it is. I mean, I believe Kyle Shanahan's a better coach, but I wouldn't say that Miami would make that move.
Okay. I'm going to say yes, just because they're like 1-4 and the Tua thing looks like shit. And
right,
I'll go
right.
Yes on that.
All right.
So Robert Saleh, I think with some of these new coaches, for me anyway, I mean, it's up to you what you want to do, but I got to give him an incomplete because we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. And I would say the same exact thing.
Okay. All right. So we'll do that. All right. So Flores, did you want to say yes or no with that?
I'll say yes on Flores. I think I was getting to see him in Mobile. I really, really think that he's a really good coach. I just think that circumstances right now, maybe there's something that's a little bit of a change, but I really think that last year, the way he had them playing for a little while, I just think his biggest mistake was not sticking with Fitz. But yeah, I mean, I could see you saying yes about that though.
Okay. Tomlin.
No.
No way. I agree. Harbaugh.
Nope.
Agree. No way. Stefanski.
Nope.
Agree. I think they got to be thrilled with what he's doing there.
Yep.
Zach Taylor and Cincy.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too. And again, we'll see. Maybe at the end of the season, we'll say no if Cincy ends up still playing well and they're 11-6 or whatever. But I think right now, I think you make that change. Agree.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Staley with the Chargers. He's been great, but you probably got to give him an incomplete, right? If we got to sell,
I would probably incompletes. And the way he's been coaching so far, I mean, I know it's early. It could lean towards no. Like, I really like what they're doing over there.
Agree. They're gonna be a problem for a while. Vic Fangio.
Yes.
Agree. Okay. The Raiders, I think, would take anybody right now. So
yeah, I mean that would be the first team I would call if there was this phantom trade to move.
Definitely. All right. Andy Reid.
No.
No way. All right. All right. Frank Reich. That's an interesting one.
That is interesting because he gets a lot of credit for the Eagles Super Bowl, right? Because,
yeah.
You know, obviously what happened after that was, you know, Doug Peterson, you know, couldn't put it together. And a lot of people pointed to the fact that Frank Reich left and he went over to Indianapolis. So that one's tough. Because he doesn't have on his own as a head coach resume. Right himself, it's only been 1 year, so that's tough.
Right.
I'm gonna say, I'd say yes, but I wouldn't be shocked if they said no.
I would say no, and the reason I say no is, what does Frank Reich do that Kyle Shanahan doesn't or hasn't? Are they kind of the same dude? You know what I mean? I don't know. I kind of feel like it's similar. Like I feel like he's this really good offensive coach who frustrates the hell out of his fans. So, all right. So we'll say. I'm going to say no, but Jay says yes on that one. Okay. Vrabel.
Ooh. No,
I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I say no because I think that culture over there, that's him. That's his building right now. And that's something that I admire about him.
And they've gone pretty far in the playoffs and they're winning games and they're building something. I don't think they would ever want to, you know, I think they want to stay with that. Mm-hmm. All right. Houston, Caldwell. I guess we got to give him an incomplete, but that's just such a shit show.
I think it's yes, but I don't think he'd ever go back there.
Yeah, agree. And then Jacksonville, yes, too, because I know they're two new coaches, but Urban Meyer, they probably can't wait to get the hell away from.
Right. Well, Balky do.
Oh, right. Balky. I still can't believe he's even a GM, man. I put that out of my mind. Every time people say that, I'm like, yeah, you're right. He's actually in the league. Okay. All right. So we'll say yes for those guys. All right, we'll go over to the NFC. So in the AFC, we have 8 coaches that we would not replace him for. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So it's about half, and we'll get some incompletes. All right, so we'll figure it out later. All right, NFC, we have Mike McCarthy in Dallas.
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Because of how well they're playing this year. I think Dak is playing well. I think that defense is playing well. They're 4-1. I think they're like a 12-win team this year. I really do. So I'm going to say no.
I think that a lot of the success is the credit is being given to Kellen Moore right now more than it is Mike McCarthy because he's trying every hard. He's trying as hard as he can to lose games for them with time management. Like, he's definitely trying that. So I mean, he's trying his hardest. So yeah, I mean, that's why I would say yes. Just because Kellen Moore would leave, but Kyle Shanahan would be that mind that they would want offensively, and imagine him with Dak and those weapons.
Yeah, would he be running quarterback powers with Dak?
Oh, you had to do it, didn't you? I knew something like that was going to come up.
All right. Giants, Joe Judge is another shit show. Yeah, yes. Probably. Philly, I think I would give an incomplete. We don't know anything about Sirianni yet, in my opinion.
Right. I agree with that.
Washington, I think in terms of results, Ron Rivera and Shanahan are the same dude.
Been to the Super Bowl once. Well, I mean, you could say that Shanahan's been there twice as an offensive coordinator. I can see it. Oh, man, that one's hard. Just because Ron Rivera, I mean, obviously the reason that I don't think it happens is because Kyle would probably retire before he gets traded back to Washington or something like that. But
right,
I mean,
never,
Ron,
yeah.
Right. But Ron Rivera, when he went there, he pretty much looked everybody in the front office and said, we're changing everything here. Like, I'm not going to stand for any of this. So they're invested in him one way or another. So I don't know. I mean, I would say no. I mean, but let's just wipe the slate clean in Washington. Mm-hmm. You know, there was never Kyle Shanahan in Washington. Then I'd probably say yes. I would say that yes. Okay. Let me take that back.
Right. I'm going to say no with that just because I think they're kind of the same dude. I don't think it's that much of a, they're not the same coach, but in terms of results that we've seen, I don't know. There's a huge difference. All right. Detroit. The most entertaining coach in the league right now, Dan Campbell.
And you know what's funny? As much crap as I gave Dan Campbell, man, seeing him cry at that podium, I was like, man, that guy actually really cares, and I'll give him that. I mean, yes, they were probably, but again, it's incomplete. Who knows, right? Dan Campbell could prove us all wrong and be building something over there. Those guys are playing their butts off for him, so I would say incomplete right now. Obviously, who's the better, you know, football mind? That's fine, you know, and everything, but I would say incomplete.
Agree. Yeah, Detroit's playing hard. Look, they've been in games. They're hanging around. So when they get some talent, they might be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Packers, Matt LaFleur.
Oh, man. This one is... I don't know, man. Matt LaFleur has won 13 games each year. I mean, I know that helps that he has Aaron Rodgers as well, too. Man, I would, because then you get Shanahan with Rodgers, but I don't think they would. I don't even know
if that's the answer. You're kind of running the Shanahan type offense anyway, and in LaFleur, whatever the hell his record is right now, 40-8 or whatever the hell he is, it's insane. I don't think there's any way for me. That's a huge no.
Okay,
I don't think they would do it. Here's another interesting one: Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the time with Zimmer is a little bit up right now. I think they would make that move. I think so. I would say yes right here, only just because it's at this point in Zimmer's career.
Okay. I think I agree with that. Yeah. Chicago, Matt Nagy. Yeah. I think they would.
Yeah. I think they do that too. Yes.
All right. New Orleans. No way.
No way.
No. Tampa Bay. No way.
Nope.
Carolina.
I like what's his name? Matt Rhule. I like him a lot. And I understand that everybody's pointing to the Panthers opponents for their performance. Man, that's hard because again, I was able to see him at the Senior Bowl, and what he does is he's polar opposites with Brian Flores. Like Brian Flores starts the practice and he breaks it down. Matt Rhule was a position coach, basically all the positions, lineman, tight end, wide receiver. He's so hands-on and so optimistic. Like I really like what they're building over there. That's tough, man. I think because of the results and everything, I think you can say that Kyle would go there, but that's hard. I actually like Matt Rhule a lot.
Yeah, I think, again, I think they're building to something that you wouldn't change there. So I think I would give that a no there. Okay. Atlanta, probably incomplete. We don't know anything about Arthur, whatever the hell his name is.
And Arthur Smith is kind of running Shanahan stuff too.
Yeah, similar, right? So,
yeah.
All right, now here's, this is where this gets interesting to me because, all right, you're talking about the coaches in your division, okay? Pete Carroll,
no way.
Guy's a borderline Hall of Famer if he's not a Hall of Famer. Sean McVay,
no,
absolutely not. McVay wins 10, 12 games every year. He's been to a Super Bowl too. No way.
Yep.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Ah, oh, man, because I have a bone to pick with Cliff Kingsbury, right? Like I feel biased, right? Like I understand they're 5-0, but I really believe that it is Kyler Murray that is the engine that runs that offense, and I'm not really in love with his play calls or play design.
Right.
I mean, tough, as of right now, he's not really done anything. Yeah, this one's actually tough. You know what? I'm going to be biased, and I'm going to say Kyle should go over there, and they should make that happen if they want to win more.
If they were able to.
Yeah.
This is something I feel like I could answer better at the end of the season, because they're 5-0. You know, again, if they make a playoff run, you're going to say no way. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. People are going to kill me if I say no on this one.
And the thing is who would have thought October 12th that we would have a discussion like this and you would even be considering this?
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, God. Am I going to be a homer and say yes? Yeah, I guess
I am.
You know what? I have to say no, because if I'm thinking about this objectively, where we are right now in week 5 of the 2021 season, they're 5-0 and it looks like they're building to something. And I don't like his play design either, but sometimes it's about more than the plays you're calling, right? It's about the culture and things like that as a head coach. So I got to say no. And people can tweet at me and tell me I suck after that. That's fine. But I'm going to say no. Okay, so here's what we got, Jay. Ready? You had him, I think you had him like a top like 13-ish. You had about 13 mm-hmm. coaches that you want to take, and I had 17. Is mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan the Jimmy Garoppolo of coaches? Is he a top 17 coach?
Was that the point of the exercise, was to make this point?
It was not. I just thought of that. I'm that witty. I just thought of that just now. He's not.
I'd like to think he's not.
Yeah, he's not. No, I think at his best he can be a top 10-ish coach, but I also think the notion of like if he was out there, all these teams would be jumping over themselves. A solid number of teams would I think be very interested. But I don't think like 20 teams would be. I think it would be more like 6, I guess.
Right.
So,
and I'm glad that we did this too. I'm glad that we did this too, because I think in my mind too, when this question was raised, you know, how many weeks ago when I was laughing this type of thing off, I was like, man, it's like maybe 5 to 7 teams that I could see that, you know, or 5 to 7 teams that would be out on him. But now that we've gone through it, a little bit more than that, honestly, when you really think about what's going on. So,
and that's why I was thinking about this morning, because there is all this heat on him, but it was always said like, well, if he was out there, yeah, you know, your Tomlins, your Harbaughs, your Belichicks, those guys wouldn't be interested, Reed. But most other teams would. Well, not really. Not really. You know, there's a lot of coaches doing good things out there. So it was pretty interesting. All right, a couple more things I want to hit on here, Jay, was the first is this George Kittle injury. And look, Kittle is an all-world player. I don't love the way they use him. I would like to see him be targeted more in the offense and that sort of thing. To see him get hurt again like this, it's just another thing that, like, when you look at the way things have gone for this team, Kittle played 8 games last year, right? So he missed 8 games, and he's going to miss at least 3 this year. So he's missed, what now, 11 of his last, what, 20, what would it be, week 7 when he comes back? 11 of his last 23 games. Like, that's a little bit scary. You know how many touchdowns he has? 2.
5?
Last 12 games, I think it is. So like that's a little bit scary, man. And the injury, there was the pass that, I know he hurt his ankle, but then Garoppolo threw him kind of that high ball that he jumped for, and he came down and it looked like he tore his knee initially. And that play really pissed me off, because I'm just looking at it, and if you remember the Arizona game last year, Jimmy throws him the high ball and he gets hurt in week 1. And it was the same thing here. It was kind of a high pass, and you could argue whether or not he had to jump. Bottom line is, if that's at his face mask, his numbers are lower, he's not getting hit there. And to see that happen with your $16 million tight end, I don't know. It just, it pissed me off. And I'm so sick of these injuries. And they say, like, always on IR to be 3 weeks. You know how the Niners are with injuries. Who even freaking knows? And to say that hit didn't do anything. Okay, maybe it didn't make the ankle worse, but certainly his knee bending sideways or whatever the hell happened didn't help anything. Of course, it's and he played through the ankle. Now all of a sudden he's out. You mean to tell me that didn't do anything? So I don't know. It really pissed me off. I don't even know where I'm going with this, to be honest with you. I'm tired of the injuries. I'm tired of big parts of this team being out. And I know injuries are part of football, but for the Niners, it's been absolutely ridiculous how many injuries they've had and how much it's affected the last however many seasons.
Right. And you know, going into this, coming into this from this offseason, you know, the thing that I kept harping on, well, there's no way that all of these injuries can happen again. And it keeps happening. And here, I'm not here to tell you how to fix it. I'm not sports medicine, anything like that. But to have it to the guy that you're invested so much in, basically, at this point, if it's not Fred Warner, the face of your franchise, right? I mean, I would say outsiders looking in would say that the first guy that they think of with the 49ers is probably George Kittle or maybe, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, something like that. But he's one of the faces of the franchise. You have all this money invested in him. You feel like you're getting all world play, like you said, when he's on the field, because he's essentially an extra lineman who can block. And I agree with you. I would love to see him targeted more because I think he gets disrespected as a route runner. And I think that a lot of people attribute his success to, well, kind of Kyle Shanahan scheming him open. I don't think that people understand that, you know, just last year he was routing up Stephon Gilmore, who was coming off a defensive player of the year, award winning year. So it's frustrating because I don't know what to do with it. And when you were talking about that high throw, I mean, I know a quarterback who can make those same high throws. He costs way less as well, too. I mean, that's another thing. Like, it's just all those things combined. It's like you keep hanging this guy out to dry. And the calf thing, right? I know that people want to point to, well, he plays very physically. That he does. But if this was it was upper body injury, shoulder, arm, you know, forearm, elbow, and maybe I could buy that. But a calf, I don't know what happened there. Like, where did that one come from? So, and I know that calf, automatically gets scary because then you start thinking about Achilles, but it is frustrating. And it's just, I don't knock him. You know, there's nothing that you can really do about it. You know, the guy's going to play as hard as he can because he only knows one speed. And that's what everybody loves about George Kittle. But yeah, you know, you made this guy the highest tight end highest paid tight end in the league history. And the return that you're getting right now, unfortunately, isn't what you would have expected. And I'm not here to, you know, take a dump on George or anything like that. It's just, you know, these are the facts. He just misses a lot of games. And it's frustrating because it's always been, especially with the excuses that Kyle Shanahan has been afforded. Well, this guy's banged up. Wait till the offense gets all together, but the offense is never all together. And I don't know how to fix that. And I don't know who that falls on at this point.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I'm not saying I have the answers, you know, just like you just said, I have no idea what the answers are. I just know what's frustrating as hell. I think everybody feels the same way. We want to see Kittle on the field. He's super talented. We want to see him involved in the offense. It's just to the point where, like, when does this end? If it ever ends, I don't know. So we have the bye, thank God, this week, because I can't take any more. But what are your expectations, or just what do you want to see after the bye for these next 12 games? If you can, and obviously you would want them to, you know, to run off whatever and go to the Super Bowl, but realistically, just what are some things you want to see from this team the second half of their season?
I want them to start Trey. I want them to use this week to get him healthy, but also implement a plan. I mean, where are these plays that you were drawing up leaving Justin Fields pro day? Were they all QB powers? Was that the play? You know, like, is that what we're doing, Kyle? Like, I want you to take this week, figure out what you want to do, implement a game plan for him, because you just watched Lamar Jackson, who I know that, you know, Trey's not Lamar Jackson, but Lamar Jackson was running all over the Colts and throwing all over them. You can get those things going because those cornerbacks are suspect. And I think at this point, what would be a successful season is maybe a playoff berth, but realistically, a winning season and things moving in the proper direction with the development of Trey Lance. If he continues to ascend during the season, and let's say they just maybe miss out on the playoffs by one game, or even make the playoffs and maybe lose in the first round, but things are looking good with Trey Lance and they roll down the stretch and they play well, then that's all you can really ask for. It's really, at this point, people need to focus on the what's really in front of them. Maybe you can make the playoffs because it's still not over. 2-3 is absolutely not the season being over. But at the same time, are we ready to see this development? And when does it start? I think that having a bye week, getting him healthy, implementing that game plan, I think this is the perfect time to go and stick with the kid. But I have a sneaking feeling that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about where it's going to go too. But I agree with you. I think when you made that trade, you made it about Lance, and you kind of made it about the next 5+ years, not about this year. And I think people had unrealistic expectations in the sense that everybody kept talking, well, you know, we got these guys on 1-year deals and we got to get to the Super Bowl this year. To me, I looked at it as, listen, you've been to the playoffs 4 times in the last, 18 or 19 years. It's not about the Super Bowl this year. It's about sustaining winning like the Seahawks do, like the Steelers do. You don't have to be the Patriots or the Rams. Exactly. Yes, exactly. You're in the mix every year, the Packers, teams like that. That's what I thought it was about. And I would like to see them start building to that. Forget about this year. You're not good enough. If you want to argue, oh, we should be 5-0, you're not 5-0. You lost, you played 3 good teams, you found a way to lose to all 3 of them. You're not good enough, and you're not going to be good enough. So to me, what's the sense of starting Jimmy and going 9-8 or 10-7, and maybe you get in the playoffs and you lose a game, maybe you don't. Start Lance, build towards the next 5 years. That's what I want to see. Start getting the players used to playing with him, start developing the offense around him. And if you do that to me personally, I don't even care if you go 6-11. I don't care, because now you're building towards something. This in and out and mismatched, and we don't know what we're doing, and we're going to go 9-8. It's ridiculous. Kyle's going to be here next year regardless. If they go, what are they? If they go 2-15, Kyle's probably still going to be here next year, because York decided to give him a 3-year extension when he had 3 years left on his deal. So he's probably going to still be here next year regardless. So just build to next year. That's what you have to do.
Yeah. And that's
trade
what I think
the future. Yep. Go ahead.
No, I think that's the problem, is the expectations of this season, right? And you know, I kind of took a little flack in the offseason for saying, hey, I know that the goal every year should be Super Bowl. And yes, maybe this roster can compete for it. But I always felt like you know, what I said earlier, building in the right direction, you know, is Trey Lance developing, you know, a year of maybe making the playoffs and losing in the first round. That sounds awful. And I know the 49er fans don't want to hear that. But if things are moving in the right direction, this is not a 1 year thing. You know, like, this is supposed to be the future. So at this point right now, why not? While you know you can still be competitive in these games, because we just watched them in Arizona. If they clean up the penalties and they execute just a little bit better, they'll put more points up on the board. I just think that it's at this point, you've got to see what you've got here and just go with it. They're that old school way of everybody needs to sit. That's out the window. Do you think that the Chargers are happy that Justin Herbert started? Yes. Do you think that Joe Burrow is fine? Yes. And I understand that, you know, that these guys had longer college careers. They're a little bit older. That's fine and all. But at the same time, this whole tried and trusted, you know, the rook's got to sit and he's got to hold the clipboard. I don't know if that's necessarily all the way when you're talking about how to develop quarterbacks.
And you just made a great point. For as disjointed as this game just looked, if you make like two of the fourth downs, you might have won this game, I don't know, 24-17, right? With your rookie QB playing like a rookie QB. You can win with him. You can, especially if you build an offense around him. So I think that's where they got to go. I always talk about reality, right? We need to get into reality and see where we are. This is not a Super Bowl team. Build to the future. So that's kind of where I am with it. So, yeah. All right, Jay, do you got anything else, man, you want to go over? We feel good. How do you feel?
I feel good. I feel like I've got it all out of my system. I can go back to being happy-go-lucky. The last two podcast appearances I've had with my own and this one have felt like therapy sessions, and I'm glad that I was here to talk with somebody that I respect and admire and is much smarter than I am, and this is a blast. Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate it, man. We'll definitely have you back. Tell everybody where they can find you, though.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at JasonAponte2103. On YouTube, you can just type in Jason Aponte. Sprint Right Option podcast twice a week with my guy, Andrew Pasquini. A bunch of other podcasts on my page as well, too. But YouTube and Twitter is where you can find me. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And also 49ers Goldmine. Sometimes I write some stuff up for them when I get the itch to write again. You know, it just hasn't been there for me right now.
Awesome, man. Well, we appreciate the time today, Jay. Thanks for coming on. Zane will be back. I don't know if we're going to have a show next week or not. I don't even know if I could take it anymore. We'll figure it out. But if not, we'll be back the following week with Zane back as a co-host. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. This is Al. We'll see you.